Welcome to the Ag Pro Podcast. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of Ag Pro, and today we're joined by Richard Gupton, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at ARA. The Agricultural Retailers Association seeks to assist members with questions about federal legislation impacting agriculture and regulatory compliance issues. And one such resource is the DC Help Desk. Richard is here to talk to us about the recent ARA fly-in, as well as policy priorities in 2020. Richard, welcome to the podcast.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear, how did the fly-in that occurred in mid-February, how did that go for you guys?
Well, it was a long 3 days, but we thought it went very well, very productive discussions. Annually, we have our ARA winter board meeting and state legislative fly-in, where we bring in our members from throughout the country to help shape policy, not only for the organization to kick off the year, but also to have them meet with their members of Congress and federal regulators. So we started off with committee meetings on Monday, where we had senior officials from the EPA Office of Pesticide Program give an update what's going on there. We had a speaker from one of the chief of staffs from a member of Congress on the House side to kind of give an update of what's going on in Congress. And we've also have other guest speakers as well. On Tuesday is really the big day, where we had we sent up our members up to Capitol Hill. We had over 120 Hill visits or congressional visits.
Wow.
With 20 states, covering 20 states. And we partnered with Biotechnology Innovative Organization, Crop Life America, and the Fertilizer Institute on this for an issue briefing for our members. And we had six state associations at least participating as well, from Kansas, Wisconsin, Florida, New York, Georgia, and North Carolina. So, you know, there was a full day of visits with these offices to kind of put a face on our industry, have them discuss the main issues impacting not only ARA members, but their farmer customers. And we kind of capped off the day with a congressional reception where offices are able to come in, meet with staff, legislative staff, and senators and House members as well. We followed that up Wednesday with our full board meeting, and they, you know, formalized and approved the policy priorities for the organization for the upcoming year. And we met with our board members were able to meet with Secretary Sonny Perdue and Undersecretary Bill Northey. And then we capped off the end of the fly-in with a meeting over at the White House, old executive office building, with some senior staff there, as well as the Department of Transportation, participating in those discussions. So we thought it was very productive. Had our members kind of, again, talk about the big issues impacting our industry and build relationships with a lot of these congressional offices.
Richard, it sounds like it is such a valuable experience for retailers to be able to bring their voice to Washington. I'm curious, from your perspective, what topics or what issues are retailers really bringing valuable perspective to the nation's capital?
Well, the first thing, just to have these offices have a better understanding of who our members are, what they do, the value they provide to their farmer customers, all the new technologies that are being utilized by the industry to provide sustainability and proper environmental stewardship, whether that's in seed technology, pesticides, and fertilizers. That's the main thing, so they have a better understanding that our members are the strongest stewards of the environment and want to make sure that the natural resources that they're working on, the water, the land, and others are left better than they, you know, than their generations before them. The big issues too is thank them on the trade. USMCA was a major accomplishment for Congress to finally pass that. The China Phase One deal is also very important, so thanking them on that. We had Greg Dowd, who's the USTR's Ag Trade Ambassador, speak to our group as well during the fly-in. And there's several others, from transportation to a reauthorization of a Department of Homeland Security program called CFATS. So those are the main topics that we kind of focus on during the fly-in.
And from your retailer member perspective, what do you think their biggest takeaway is from an event like that?
Well, I think they realize that the importance of educating the legislative staff for these members of Congress and the members themselves, raising awareness. Again, we met with some senior officials of the Department of Transportation and raising awareness for one of the topics on transportation is the driver shortages. We're having a hard time, our members, finding qualified drivers. There's legislative efforts with a bill called the Drive Safe Act that would allow younger drivers between 18 and 20 to get involved as a commercial driver in interstate, working with an apprentice driver. Right now, at the federal level, you have to be 21 if you want to commercially drive in interstate commerce, and that means going just 10 miles going across the border. So we think that makes sense. We also, our members were able to raise issues to these lawmakers and regulators about the hours of service challenges and potential reforms there. So if they're not there to have those discussions, I mean, as an association, we represent the industry here in Washington, D.C., but again, to put a face on the industry and have their constituents tell them directly, invite them back their facilities when they're back home is pretty critical to helping move these legislative policies forward.
And you talk about those legislative priorities. You talk about transportation. What else are you guys prioritizing here in 2020?
Ag labor continues to also be a challenge for the industry. Immigration reform, it's, I think, a fairly difficult challenge to maybe resolve, but we're continuing to work with farm groups, commodity groups, to make sure that's a priority. We think there is a path forward, hopefully, to resolve that issue, particularly as it deals with the H-2A guest worker program, and that's a broken system, and it adversely impacts other areas of the country worse than others, like dealing with adverse effect wage rate, but that's something of importance. And there's another program under the Department of Homeland Security I mentioned. It's called the Chemical Facility Anti-Terrorism Standards Program. It expires of April of 2020 this year. For regulatory certainty, we're part of a coalition asking for that program to be extended. It's for high-risk facilities that store certain chemicals, and we want to get that done. And on the transportation front, they have to reauthorize the surface transportation bill. That has to be done by the end of this September. And so that's critical to make sure we adequately fund our infrastructure, highway, bridges, locks, and dams, and also other critical infrastructure. So that's another key area that our members were able to talk with their members of Congress.
Richard, you have many years of experience in D.C., and this is a national election year. I'm curious, how much time do we have in this year before the election really starts dominating folks' time and attention?
Well, some may think it's already doing that. It's already dominated, given what's happened in Congress. The balance of power is so close in the House and the Senate. That's in the kind of, I think, a lot of the members of Congress's minds as they move forward. So it'll be a challenge to get some legislation through, and some of these things may just have to have short-term extensions to get past the election. So that is probably a forefront right now. There's another presidential debate on the Democrat side coming up this Wednesday in Nevada. So it is the political season, political year, and it makes things challenging, but we try to work with Republicans and Democrats on these key issues. It's good for the country for them to try to work together to get these things resolved, like the USMCA deal on trade. They have to do this on transportation because it's good for the country, good for our economy, and good for agriculture. And we're hopefully they can get some of these major issues over the finish line despite the election. That should make them want to work more closely together to get things done for the American people.
And Richard, if I could ask you one other question that's trade-related, and that would be that Secretary Perdue has come out and said that there will be no further MFP program payments in 2020. What is your reaction to that?
Well, he'd indicated that from all along. They did get USMCA passed, and these payments were mainly focused on China and the abuses that had taken place by the Chinese government. So phase one's been agreed to. It's really wait and see because of the coronavirus. I don't know what kind of impact it'll have, but in this trade agreement, they've agreed to purchase a significant amount of, I think it's up to $200 billion, and a big part of that is for the ag sector of purchases. And if they don't follow through on that per the trade agreement, then, I think Secretary Perdue would and the USDA would be in the administration open to revisiting having additional payments. But it was all contingent of trying to resolve these issues with China, and it looks like at least on paper, they've got to follow through that has taken place with this phase one of the trade deal.
Excellent. Richard, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
No, my pleasure.
So if you are an ARA member with advocacy or regulatory questions, or you're interested in booking meetings with your representatives or getting answers from regulatory agencies, log in and send questions through ARA's DC Help Desk. Many questions and issues can be answered or resolved within a few business days. Go to aradc.org or call 202-457-0825. And thank you for joining us on today's AgPro podcast.